Tracy Capella, thank you for coming in. And Laurel Osman. I said that right.
You did. Yes, I lost good. The word. I forgot the word you told me it is.
Fricative.
Yeah, my fricative name.
You see, has a fricative name because the S goes Z, and it means it's fricative.
Interesting.
I think. Leah.
Fiasca.
I was going to say fiasco.
It's phonetic, actually. Yeah.
Fiasca. Yeah. So it's just exactly the way it would.
Exactly. It looks more difficult than it is.
Are you nicknamed Fiasco? Or any,
Yes.
Mess of things
absolutely.
Sometimes?
No, I disaster all the time. So
okay.
Yeah.
Good. That's so much to look forward to. Tracy, you're the marketing and specialty leasing director of the Grand Avenue Mall, correct?
That's correct.
And Laurel, you're the Mike project director.
Yes.
Mike stands for?
Innovation in Milwaukee.
They just got dyslexic on the first two letters. Milwaukee
exactly.
Innovation.
Right.
Gotcha. And Leah, you're the project director for the Greater Milwaukee Committee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Greater Milwaukee Committee, correct?
Correct.
So how do you guys know each other? Now, why are you all here?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yes, the intimate details of how you know each other. No, how you're here because of the Grand Avenue Mall, because of you, Leah, right?
Right. And Leah and Laurel I met because they actually are a tenant in the mall.
Okay.
And then we have had many discussions. We've been on many committees together. A lot of things that involve the mall is the focal point.
Right. They're a tenant in the mall in that the Greater Milwaukee Committee is a tenant in the mall.
Yes.
And Mike is a tenant in the mall.
Yep. Also. Mike has a space in the mall. It's called Open Mike, cleverly named. It's a co-working and collaborative space.
Right.
That's actually run out of a former Express store.
Okay. Well, now, let's talk about the mall for a minute, because this Grand Avenue Mall has a kind of a long history, and some of it kind of sad, if I recall correctly, my Milwaukee history. I mean, when did it start? Do you know, as the mall spokesman?
Sure. When the mall began.
When the mall began.
The mall began in 1982.
82, okay.
Yes,
I thought it was
on a lovely warm summer day.
It
actually was August 26th,
1982. Really?
Yes.
You know exactly.
I do. I'm kind of in love with this place.
Yeah. Well, it's a great space and a great building. Or combination of buildings. How many buildings are there?
Well, technically, the mall is just two buildings.
Okay.
The Plankinton Building and the new arcade. Although there's many buildings that are attached to it.
They're all.
Yes.
And you can get all everywhere you want to go in the most horrible of winters, which we don't have anymore, because there's skywalks everywhere.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Cool. But it was a big deal when it first opened, and then it kind of, I don't want to use the word failed, but I just did. It kind of failed, didn't it?
It had ups and downs.
Okay.
And there were...
She's the marketing director.
It's very political.
There was obviously competition that occurred.
Right.
Bayshore and Mayfair. And I think the plight of the downtown urban mall began. And a couple of our large big box tenants went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And soon we lost a lot of square footage. And perceptions changed. And then here we are today trying something totally different.
Right. So. You are trying something because it does. Third Coast Digest offices are down here now, so I see it a lot. And it's completely different. It's not a mall the way you think of a mall with a lot of different shops selling stuff. Although we will talk about the pop-up thing that you're doing now too. But in this part of the mall, there's offices, Third Coast Digest, Vet Transfer was across the corner, mm-hmm. across the street, or across the, what do you call that? I always want to know what that's called.
I don't know, we just usually say across the hall.
Across the hall.
Yeah,
I call it
a neighborhood.
Promenade, an esplanade.
Promenade, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, because you promenade along.
We should start using that, work that in, you guys.
Promenade's good. But there's a theater group that uses the downstairs mm-hmm. here, right? What's that
yep.
called?
Milwaukee Public Theater.
Milwaukee Public Theater, right. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different stuff, and UWM has offices upstairs, and the Y is in here, and there's a lot of different things going on. So there's a lot, there are people here for all different reasons. So it's going through a kind of a transformation now. I'd say that it's in the midst of a transformation, wouldn't you?
I would.
You would.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of proven success in the past year with the mall, like, you know, what you just said about bringing in different businesses to actually use the space as an office.
Right.
You know, it creates sort of a neighborhood feel. You can go out on the promenade, as you call it, go talk to your neighbors. And that, you know, really only took 6 or 9 months to get that to almost 100% occupancy when before I think it was at about 40%. Mm-hmm. And now I sound like I'm the marketing director. but I mean, that was a really successful program.
Well, what was the genesis for this kind of rethinking of what to do with this mall?
I think it started because we needed to change something and we realized that the ship was going to sink and we had to do something. So Jones Lang LaSalle is our management company. They actually suggested that I reach out to the marketing director from Crestwood Court, which is a mall in St. Louis, in downtown St. Louis. And they came up, they discussed a program that they instituted at their mall that was very much suffering. Theirs was a little different because they were facing a large redevelopment, so they wanted to have something transitioned into the redevelopment. But nonetheless, we met with them and they had something called Art Space, and they leased out space to artists essentially at very low market rents. And it worked and it filled up their mall. And they were able to get some revenue but also change the perception of this mall that nobody went to anymore. And it worked. And so I met with this woman, her name was Lisa. She gave me great ideas. Soon we met with the Creative Alliance, which actually is initially how I met Laurel. So she, Laurel and Leah had a hand in Creativity Works Here, which is the program we started on the Plankinton side, which now is our catalyst for pop-up. But that's really how things started with the Plankinton building. And that was June of 2011, so not even a year.
That's so great. In New York, we used to say, I lived in New York for years, and we used to say that artists are the shock troops of real estate. Because the artists will move into an area.
That's true.
And it gets to be trendy, so somebody will open a bar, open a club, open a restaurant, and more people want it. And pretty soon the rents are such that the artists can't afford it anymore. So
they are the first sign of gentrification.
They're the first
sign of gentrification, yes, the presence of artists and creatives.
That's great. We'll keep them around. Don't price them out.
No, exactly.
We won't.
So what is pop-up? This is a new innovation.
It is.
Pop-up stores are stores that are not, that take up a space that is not currently being used and only plan to use it for a very short amount of time, but in that time span can use it in ways that can be very effective. So they can either test market audiences with goods, they can brighten storefronts, they can create unusual spaces, and that can then showcase the blank slate that the space currently has when it's not currently being used. And in general, they just kind of create activity around spaces that don't normally have activity.
Now, it sounds like something that could be seasonal. Christmas time, there'd be a lot of pop-ups.
It is very popular around the holiday seasons. In fact, most of the pop-up initiatives that you'll see around the country are focused on the holiday season because that's when retail is booming.
But you just started this. You just opened the doors, as it were, last week, and you already have a couple, one or two.
Well, I think it's a popular thing right now in general, just that there are people testing market audiences. It's, you know, when you're in a recession, there's always kind of a push for people to try new things and to be entrepreneurs, and this is a great way in which to do that.
Well, that's interesting. So who do you reach out to? I mean, you don't have to reach out to the Gap, or you don't have to reach out, but who do you reach out to? Where do you throw your net? Where do you cast your net? Is that what marketing people should call it?
I think one of the great things about Milwaukee is that there is already a movement to buy local. So you have Local First Milwaukee, you have the Urban Garage sale that happened a few months ago, and you have our friend...
Art versus Craft. Faith Levine runs that every year. It's a huge, super successful craft and art fair that's here in Milwaukee.
Oh, great.
So I guess to get at your question about who do we reach out to, you know, a lot of what we're doing is to give an opportunity to an artist, an entrepreneur, somebody who's working out of their basement but is maybe ready to dabble into becoming a little bit more established. And that's something that we've seen was successful with Creativity Works Here. You know, it's such a low barrier to entry. You can go in for 3 months, have a go at, you know, running an official store, and whether that becomes long term here in the mall or someone else. You know, it's an important thing that we want to give to entrepreneurs and others.
I started thinking environmental theater is something that's very big now, where this audience sort of moves around with the theater, and these spaces Maybe we can do a play in our 500 square feet.
It's going to be dance. Okay. It'll be modern dance. Yeah, it'll be space-based. Yeah, space-based dancing.
Okay.
Yeah, I can tell you have a long-term dance background too. So.
Oh yeah, very long.
We should also mention our friend Chuck as well. Tracy, do you want to talk about Chuck?
Sure. Chuck Watson, Made in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I met him actually at the Plankinton Statue Rotunda. James Godsell, that's another great name, who's another huge advocate for Grand Avenue in general.
Right.
I met Chuck there. I mentioned Pop-Up, and he connected me with his group. It's a lot of local vendors. I mean, anywhere from jewelry makers to soap makers to weavers. I mean, we've gotten a lot of applications all across the board.
Great.
And we're almost trying to target those people who almost are nomadic, where they do the farmer's market circuit, but they're tired of doing that, and they'd like to have their own spot.
Right.
And they have very unique wares to sell, and that's what we want. We want very unique options so that people want to come to this mall and have fun shopping again. So, yeah, we did sign our first lease. It was to someone called Flagship.
Yeah.
It's a Chicago boutique, and they will sell upscale women's apparel, accessories, and they'll have a beauty bar, which is again, an upscale makeup counter, I guess, for lack of a better description.
With champagne?
I hope so. That'd be great.
If you put bar in the title in Milwaukee, there's
They will show up.
Well, I think it's already a much more exciting mall than it was, say, 5 or 6 years ago.
True, and many people, even Dave Beagle, a longtime Journal Sentinel writer, wrote a fabulous blog on Milwaukee last week saying, long live the Grand Avenue, and that gave me wings for the whole week, and I sent it to everybody I know, and I just thought, look at this. If Dave Beagle, someone who typically can be quite skeptic, and I don't blame him, but if he's giving props to the Grand Avenue, that says something.
If Dave says, come on down, then everybody should come on down.
Exactly.
Well, thanks a lot, all three of you, for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you
this
very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. A great experience.
Sure.